Welcome back. We hope you are getting blessed with this interesting episode of Rapture Watch, The Mystery of Salvation. Our pastor is preaching, teaching, saying a lot of things, interesting things, but that is still raising a lot of questions. And we hope all your questions will be answered on this episode. Okay, sir, we post you on these notes. Only those whose names are in the book of life will be saved. So if we go back to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, so the whosoever that is here is just those that their names are in the book of life.
No. It's so that everybody will have the opportunity to come in. That's why he said whosoever. But that doesn't mean he does not know who will come and who will not come.
Because of his foreknowledge.
You were saying something about foreknowledge earlier. That why I post it is because I want you to emphasize it again.
There's something I want to emphasize here. God did not block anybody from being saved.
Okay.
It is the exercise of your will. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Everyone has, your choice. Mm. It is your choice that determines. Now, when he says, except the Father which called him draw you, you cannot come to him.
Yes, sir.
Except the Father. What he's saying here is that, except the Father draw you. How did the Father draw you? He draw you by the preaching of the gospel.
Amen.
And he already knows who will receive it and who will not receive it. Nobody just comes and gives his life to Christ without some conviction.
So that's the drawing.
That is the drawing. Okay. Nobody just sits down like that and come. The Father draws you with the gospel, the good news. That is why he raises ministers. Or that is why he displays his power one way or the other. Even his appearing to you in a bedroom without a preacher preaching to you, he appears to you in a bedroom and tells you, I am Jesus. Follow me. It's a message. It's a sermon. And each time he does that, that person will stand up and start looking for a preacher somewhere.
So that's what Paul was also saying in 1 Corinthians 1:18.
Okay, read on.
For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness.
Yes.
But unto those which are saved, it is the power of God.
Yes.
So God was displaying his power by preaching.
Exactly.
And then, you know, okay.
The same thing also, Romans chapter 1. Okay. And when he says, verse 16, okay, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I say, for it is the power of God unto salvation.
To everyone that believeth.
To everyone that believeth. So that is the power of God that he uses to draw you, the preaching of the gospel. You know, and that is why he says, he that is born of God does not commit sin. Say why? He said, because his seed
remains.
What is his seed?
The word of God.
The word of God that gave birth to you, that drew you to God. If it's in you, it will keep you from sin.
Amen.
So the exercise of one's will is what could hinder one from being saved.
Yes. You either believe because some believe, some refuse.
So every human being has an equal opportunity to be saved.
That is why he said, for whosoever believe, we all have equal opportunity. We all have 2 ears.
But by his foreknowledge, he knows those who
he knows, and he made provision. Okay. He made provision for those who he believe to come in. And he let Paul see it and say, I has not seen.
Amen.
He has not heard. You know what is prepared.
But only God has this foreknowledge. Man doesn't.
No, it's only God that has the foreknowledge. That's why he prepared this for you. He already knows you will come.
Okay.
You know, he already knows you will come. You know, some years ago. I mean, that is what the gift of the word of knowledge also does to us.
It
lets you know some things in advance. And because you know it, you prepare before it comes.
Amen.
Because he knows they'll be saved. So in my father's house are many mansions.
Amen.
I go to prepare a place for you.
And he knows the exact number. He knows them so much that he has a book of life.
Yes.
Where
there's no names.
Yes, and no excess. The New Jerusalem is perfectly already designed. With
so the number will not be.
There will be no extra. There will be no stampede. He already prepared the place for everyone that we come for. He knows everyone, and he knows us by name.
But the way you are painting this mystery of salvation is making it look very, very interesting.
Thank you.
And then, you know, now God already knows who will be saved.
Yes.
But at the same time, is it not possible that one, or let me say, can one be saved and then later on you are unsaved?
Or let me rephrase it. So can your name be in the book of life
and then God cancel it?
The counseling will make it rough. The razor is good.
You know, have you given thought to this scripture, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30?
Okay, Ephesians 4, 30. Hallelujah.
Okay, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30.
God. Yes.
And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption.
You are sealed until the day you commit sin.
Unto the day of redemption.
So the Holy Ghost is a seal.
Finished work.
Finished work of salvation. You know why?
Why, sir?
Because the Holy Ghost is eternal life. A life that has no end cannot end.
A life that has no end cannot end. But there's something Paul was saying in
Hebrews 6. Now, he repeated in Ephesians chapter 1.
Okay.
Verse 13.
Okay. Ephesians 1:13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth.
After you heard the word of truth, you trusted in
the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise.
Sealed.
Which is, verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance.
It is the earnest, that is the peak, the ceiling of our inheritance.
Until the redemption of the purchased possession.
We remain like that until the rapture. The redemption of the purchased possession. And where were we purchased? With the blood.
Okay.
On the cross on Calvary. So we are purchased possession of God. And he has sealed us. That, you see, he has bought us back. He has paid the price of redemption.
Nothing can.
Who will take you again? You belong to him.
But what if you by yourself go out? Apostle Paul was saying something in Hebrews 6, from verse, I wrote it down on my book, from verse 4 to 7. At least this scripture, Daddy, you need to.
Yes, let me read this back again. For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gifts and are made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame.
Let's just even stop there. I've heard Deeper Life brethren say, you know, use this scripture, and they make it, the way they even paint it is even true. You can lose this salvation. Don't you think so, Daddy?
Can you see this language in John, chapter 1?
Okay.
John chapter 1,
verse 11. But concerning the narration of Christ from verse 9.
Okay. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe
even
on his name.
Even to them that believe on his word. My emphasis is verse 13. Yes.
Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood.
They are born not of blood.
Nor of the will of the flesh.
Nor of the will of the flesh.
Nor of the will of man.
Nor of the will of man.
But of God.
Then you'll understand why Apostle Peter said that we are born again by the incorruptible seed of the word of God. If it is that word of God, because a lot of people, you know, misplace the word salvation. Now, salvation is different from religion. You understand?
Yes,
salvation is different from religion. You know, religion is a covering. Man knows you are exposed to danger. You need a higher being to cover you. You are now exposed to dangers. Then he went and got leaves to to cover his nakedness. Mm. Which is the estate, which is religion. But the only true way, because it will dry up.
Amen.
That's right.
The weather, the sun, the rain, the wind, and everything else, it will dry up. Mm. So you needed a more permanent covering.
Hallelujah. Mm.
And until you get that permanent covering, you have no security. Mm. That is why he went and got the skin of an animal.
Mm.
Will that not last longer than he lives?
That's right. Amen.
And before, but before you get that skin of an animal, you have to kill the animal.
Blood must be shed.
You see? The blood must be shed.
Mm.
And it was all a type of the perfect sacrifice.
Hallelujah.
That will give you a covering.
Mm.
Now, for somebody to say he is saved today, and tomorrow is unsaved, the question is, what were you saved from?
Mm.
You know, because will you imagine that a human being will love to remain in bondage when freedom is given to you?
Mm. That's true.
When peace is given to you, you want to go back to bondage. It is evidence you were never free. If you were free, what joy, the benefit of being in Christ is too much for anybody to say, I am saved. And they say, you are going back. Going back to where? To nightclub? Why do people go to nightclub? Is it not peace and joy you are looking for?
Mm.
Then you soon discover the next day, it's not there.
It's not there.
Why do people look for women everywhere?
Mm.
And all these indulgences they involve themselves in. There is something inside, a void.
A void.
The day you find Christ, you just discover, wow.
Mm.
You say, wow, I'm back home.
I'm satisfied.
I'm satisfied.
Hallelujah.
There's all protection all around you. You become untouchable. The highest power behind you. The Father tells you, I've forgiven you. He accepts you. And rearranges your life again.
Amen.
And then you say you will go back. Anyone that has gone back, they fall within the category of those who are born again by the will of man.
Not by the will of man.
How do you know that you are born again by the will of man? There are those who come for altar call at the command of the preacher. And then the preacher tells him, say after me.
Oh, Jesus.
Then the preacher pronounces you born again.
Born again.
You are born again by the will of man.
The pastor.
Because Christ is an experience.
When
you meet him, something happens to you that changes you. It's not any man telling you, say after me. Does he know the sin I was committing? Does he know what I'm repenting from? Everyone has, you know, let the person meet with God. He will pour out his heart to God himself. You know.
But sir, how do you explain this scripture, Brother Gabriel?
So is it that Paul is saying it is not possible?
Because if you come this far, you have seen it. You have seen the reality of God. And you go back. It is not possible to bring you back. Because what else will he use to bring you back? What did you not see? You were not satisfied. This is not what you want. So you have gone back. If there was anything attractive in Christ, you would have stayed.
So this person was not truly saved.
He was not saved. He only came and saw it. And so that is why he said, unless you are born again, you cannot see. Now, unless you are born of water and spirit, you cannot enter. Now, all this anointing, all this, you see, the evidence that you are saved, it's not the gift. It's not the miracle. It is not the display of power. Any gift you have. It is to confirm to you the reality of that
reality
God,
of God
to cause you to submit. Now, if after you have seen all this, you live and go again back to live the same type of life that you were living before you say you came to Christ, it simply means with all that is the highest thing God can do to anybody,
to draw
you to him. And you still went away, it is because you are not part of it. It's not possible. What will you use again to bring them back?
It's like crucifying. Paul says like crucifying Christ.
He says like crucifying because,
because
I mean, you have seen him.
Mm.
So that is what that scripture is trying to explain.
Wow.
Don't even bother If you try to go to them, what will you use now to bring him back? Oh, the Lord is good. I have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Eh? But you were prophesying. You have seen you in Diapalo. Mm. What happened?
Mm.
You said, put that away. You know, it never got to his soul.
Mm-hmm.
It never got to his heart. Therefore, don't bother. All that it takes to draw the attention of man to God, he has seen it. He has partaken of it.
He has the reality of God.
He has seen the reality of God and he went back. It's just not part of that feast.
Okay, sir, let me coin it this way again, because somebody will be asking this question. This salvation, can one be internally secured? Can one be internally secured? Saved?
You mean eternally?
Yes.
Eternally
secured. That you receive a salvation and then you are internally secured. You can't.
No. Your security. Mm. When you say secured from what? Mm. From the destruction that is coming upon this world.
That's right. Mm.
It is guaranteed by receiving eternal life. Yeah. Eternal life is a life that has no end. So it cannot be ended. Therefore, God will not gamble to give eternal life to everyone.
Maybe give it today, take it tomorrow.
No. He can't take it. It's eternal life now.
Mm.
You can't have it and he'll take it again.
Mm.
That is why. Because he knows it is not possible to end that type of life, because the life there is his life.
Mm.
His life cannot be terminated.
Mm. That's right.
It is a portion of him he's giving you.
The very life of God.
Mm. The very life of God is in you.
Right.
So that is the security. And that called by the indwelling spirit. That is why Colossians 1:27 speaks about Christ in you,
the hope of
glory. Even the hope of resurrection, Romans 8:11,
mm-hmm.
is the spirit that raised up Christ. Mm. Is the spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
Dwells in you. It will quicken your mortal body. That is the guarantee that the grave will not hold you captive.
Hallelujah.
Okay, sir. I know
that is eternal security.
The issue of eternal security, in fact, from how you're explaining it now, it's very, very clear. But it's a very controversial term in Christendom, eternal security.
Mm.
It makes it look as if they are giving somebody license for sinning.
No.
What about the case of a sinning, saved person? Like, let me still put it that way. Can't you lose the salvation?
Mm.
Of course, I'm saved now. Let me start misbehaving.
No, I think it is Peter. You know, remember that the Bible says, whom he loves.
Chastens.
You know, he chastens. Is it not Peter?
Hebrews.
You know, this thing is Apostle Paul to the Hebrews.
That's
Hebrews
right.
chapter 12.
Yes, sir.
Hebrews 12.
Okay, Hebrews 12, from verse 5. Okay.
Yes.
And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children.
Now, can you see?
Mm-hmm.
This is father and son relationship. Mm. See how it goes. Go on.
My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor offense when thou art rebuked of him.
Mm. So you see, a father will rebuke his son.
Amen.
A father will chasten his son.
Mm.
Because it's a father-son relationship. Go on.
For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth.
It is only whom he loves. So that you can see the mystery. Why some people who claim they are in the church, children of God, they do some things.
Mm.
Nothing happens to them.
They go free.
But another one will try half of that thing and then God will begin to deal with that person.
Mm.
It is the spirit of sonship.
Mm.
It is because you are the one he has relationship.
Mm.
His spirit is in you. You can even allow you to go that way. He will deal with you. And one of the reasons he does it is to make you fear him and walk a life pleasing before him.
Amen.
Because the relationship now is a father-son relationship. Read on.
Okay. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son
whom he receive.
If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons.
As with sons.
For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers.
How many are partakers?
All are partakers.
How many are partakers?
All are partakers.
All his children are partakers of chastening. Mm. If not,
then are ye bastards and not sons.
Oh. So anybody that claims to be a Christian, you are living anyhow life, disgracing God anyhow, anywhere, and no wrath of God is coming upon you, it is because you are a bastard. Mm. You are not his son.
My father, my God.
So okay. A true child of God will be saved if he misbehaves. Yes. God will chasten him.
Exactly. This also brings me to
because you see the way he put it. Let's read the next two verses again.
Okay, verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us.
Okay, see how he's bringing the picture clearer and clearer.
That's and we gave them reverence. Uh-huh. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?
You see?
For they verily for a few
the
days
earthly fathers
chastened us after their own pleasure.
It's after their own pleasure.
But if our profits.
This one is our own profit.
That we might be partakers of his holiness.
Thank you. Now, verse 11.
Now, no chastening.
You see? Mm-hmm.
For the present, seem to be joyous.
Yes.
But grievous.
Yes.
Nevertheless,
afterward,
it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby.
So, what happens is, if a true child of God, filled with the Holy Ghost, tries to misbehave, tries to disobey God's word, and tries to live a wild life, oh no, God will remember the price he paid for me. Like the husband that paid price, bride price. So he has paid the bride price. It guides us jealously. He won't let you misbehave.
Amen.
Just as the earthly fathers relate with their earthly children, that is how the Heavenly Father relates with his heaven-bound children.
Sir, this what you just told us now brought a question to my mind. Is it possible that in this call of God, God calls two sets of people? Because we're talking of true Christians, then the ones that are not true Christians.
No, we're talking about salvation.
Okay.
We're talking about salvation. We're not talking about serving God.
Not service.
We're not talking about service.
Okay.
God said the only children he had, the only inheritance he has on earth is who?
Israel.
Is Israel. Who does he call Israel? My servant. He calls him also my son. Correct?
That's right.
But he called Nebuchadnezzar.
My servant.
But he didn't call him my son. He called Cyrus. Pharaoh.
Pharaoh, yes. Pharaoh.
He called Cyrus.
His servant.
Yeah, because they are only to fulfill. In fact, Balaam's ass
was a servant.
Now, a lot of people confuse the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Now, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is for sonship.
Amen.
It's for salvation. It's for redemption.
Amen.
But mere anointing is for service. That is, you can be anointed, given the gifts to fulfill God's purpose. He wants to do something and finds anybody he can use. You know. And that is why you see in Matthew chapter 7 from verse 21.
Okay, that's right.
7 from verse 21.
Yes.
Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven.
So you can see now.
But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?
Okay.
And in thy name I've cast out devils, and in thy name I've done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that walk iniquity.
You see? So, but they cast out devils. But they did miracles, signs and wonders.
Anointing.
But what did he say? I never knew you. When did he know them?
From the foundation
from
of the
world.
foundation.
And he said they are workers of iniquity. That is, you know, they were just on their own.
See, exercise of
okay, will. This is the only reason why I ask this question. Many are called, few are chosen. You in your sermon, sir, this time is on you.
Yes.
You have preached several times that many are called. But in the calling, few are chosen, elected.
Yes.
So, is it possible that in this call of God, God can call as many, but yet he only elects very few?
Yes. He types it in verse 47 of Matthew 13, the parable of the fishing net.
Okay.
You know, where you go to the water is the world. Now, that fishing net is... For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten that whosoever the fishing net of evangelism, miracles, signs, and wonders. Mm. Throw them, throw the net, mm-hmm. and draw them. Then when they come, sorting out begins. Sorting out begins. Mm. Because it is always a mixed multitude that comes.
Okay. Mm.
So many are called.
The few choosing.
But few are choosing. Mm. Now, it's not saying here that the meaning of that statement is to let you know that many respond, mm. but not all qualify.
Oh, my.
My God.
So, only a few. It's not as if he's the one just selecting it, because we saw a time in John chapter 6. Mm. You know, in John chapter 6, from verse 65.
Okay, John 6:65.
Yes.
And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back.
Many of his disciples went back.
And walked no more with him.
Go on.
Then said Jesus unto the 12.
He turned to the 12 that remained.
Will you also go away?
Won't you also go away? Like the rest? Hear what kept them.
Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life.
Now, because not all the multitude coming are looking for eternal life.
Came to
his always, through his funnel, he knows very few look for eternal life when they come to Christ. They were following him. Not because of the miracle they saw, but because of the food they ate.
The bread.
Then what did he say? Seek for the meat.
The meat.
The
leader to enter.
That's John chapter 6.
Yes.
That's right.
Verse 27.
Exactly.
Labor not for the meat that which perisheth.
Labor not for the meat which perisheth.
But for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life.
Now, exactly. You see? So they came and he knew who they were. So many are called. The gospel attracts many people. But very few will seek the right thing. That is why also he went to that same chapter 12. Matthew 7.
Matthew 7.
Yes.
Okay.
Verse 13.
Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction.
Can you see?
And many there be which go in.
Many follow such ways.
Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it.
You see? Now, Apostle Paul broke it down that a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrines. Who was he referring to? It's those who came to Christ. When they come to doctrine, they don't want doctrine. Just pre-prosperity, do anointing, do this one. And he said they will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heap to themselves teachers.
With itching ears.
That is who they are. Time will come when they will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils.
Speaking lies, you know, hypocrisy.
That is what he means by few.
Chosen.
That is why Peter said, give diligence to make your call an election sure.
Amen.
Because, you know, people come to Christ and their focus is different.
Because many respond, but not all.
So it means the deeper life brethren miss it because they see the anointing and they did not know that that's not the anointer dwelling in people. They see the anointing on so many people. And majority of us are deceived. You see the anointing on some people and you think that is the real thing.
No. I don't know why you refer to deeper life. I do know that they just believe that, you know, you come to Christ. And there's a scripture that says, walk your salvation.
Walk out
your salvation.
With fear and trembling.
With fear and trembling. So, to walk in there is, you know, it gives you the impression that, you know, just you walk well, or even though you will lose your salvation, or you lose your salvation. No, that is self-righteousness. You know, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you know, when he say, walk out your salvation, with fear and trembling, what he's telling you there is, don't take things for granted. don't take things for granted.
God,
now that you are saved. Now that you are saved, you know, there are things we are supposed to do to live a life of righteousness, live a life pleasing before God. And what is it? It's to fear God and to keep his commandments. You know, that's what he said. And the reason he said is, now that you are saved, because our God is a consuming fire.
Amen.
Knowing the terror of God, he said, we persuade men. Because we know, now we know the destruction is coming upon this one.
Amen.
We that are saved, maintain your salvation. Mm. Don't, you know,
take things for
granted. Because if you step aside, he will deal with you.
Mm.
Therefore, you want to make sure you live within the law of God. That is the meaning of that. And therefore, they believe that if a Christian, can a Christian commit fornication? Very well. Can a Christian commit adultery? Very well. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 shows us that.
Mm.
You know, can a Christian even commit murder? Very well. Apostle Paul said, walk in the spirit.
You cannot feed the lust of the flesh.
So you are having the Holy Ghost. It's whosoever you yield yourself to. If you yield yourself, that you have the Holy Ghost does not remove your human nature from you.
Yeah, still here.
It only enables you to live above the flesh.
My.
But if you yield yourself to the flesh, then you will live carnally and you will suffer for it. Yeah. But salvation, you remain saved because the great eternal spirit with you. You know, you will lose your peace on earth. He will deal with you. You are the one, you know. Not knowing that that king is following me, I walk out my salvation with fear and trembling. Because when he deals with me, then I will know that I have a father.
Okay, it still comes back to chastisement.
That's the chastisement.
Balance.
Okay. Sometimes you see a Christian suffering, and they think that he has lost salvation. That's why he's suffering. The truth is, if you've lost your salvation, Satan will receive you, and you will prosper in iniquity.
That mystery.
If you have lost your salvation,
yes,
Satan will receive you. Then you prosper in
that is evidence you belong to him. So you will prosper. But if it is God that is chastening you, he allows Satan. Satan will deal with you, buffet you. That is why Satan is a servant of God. Because God created both good and evil, and he created the evil against the evil day. There is a day he needs the evil. It's his whip. That is why he allows Satan. He has not finished with Satan yet. Satan is his servant to correct us. When we see him coming, we run back to the cross. Father, if you release me, this guy will finish me. David was given 3 choices. And one of it is for him to be released to the hands of his enemies. He said, if he hands him over to his enemy, he said he knows what the enemy will do to him. But if he deal with him, you know he's still merciful. If he cry, he will stop up. But my enemy, he will finish him. So it's better that you punish me as your child than to allow this enemy. You know, that is who God is. That's the meaning of walk out your salvation with fear and trembling.
Amen.
I thank you for those questions, my brother.
Because I really want to emphasize this, you know, so much. So that, there was a young girl that came to an inter-message church some time ago in Port Harcourt. I was hearing the testimony. And she had fallen into fornication. And she was a member of one of these churches that believe holiness, I think Deeper Life also. And so she felt she has therefore lost her salvation. So since she has lost her salvation, there's no hope again now. So let her Kuku just continue. But she was not enjoying it. Kuku continued, you know, she stopped going to church. Then somebody invited her to a program that was held in an inter-message church somewhere in Port Harcourt. And they heard the message. And after service, went to see the pastor. He said, I heard you say something. This might mean there's still hope for me. The pastor said, what? This is even evidence that you are a child. You see no peace. You are not enjoying it. You are crying every day. Somebody told you have lost your salvation. You cannot lose your salvation. That's why we have 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. if we confess our sins.
Faithful and just.
He's faithful and just. People don't understand to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. What God, see, Peter asked God, how many times will a man offend me and I forgive him until
seven times?
Mm-hmm. He says seven times 70.
That's right.
Correct?
That's right, sir.
If you offend a fellow human being, God is telling you, forgive. Is he him, God, that will not be bound by that principle?
Right.
Amen and amen.
So you come to him. Remember, you know, people come to me and they are crying. They are crying. I've committed. I've lost joy. I have this. Pastor, this is abomination, what I've committed. And I tell you, I say, even. What did David say in Psalm 51? Mm.
A broken and a contrite spirit. Oh God, that will not despise.
He won't despise it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
God is not just hearing our mouth to say, I'm sorry, forgive me. Mm. He is the heart, the condition of the heart. Mm. Have you decided to repent? Mm. What God is interested in is repentance, because the mercy seat is still there now. Christ's blood is still atoning now. Mm. Christ is still at the right hand of the Father, interceding for every one of us. People don't catch that to know that once you are saved, forever you are saved. But you lose the joy of salvation. You will lose your reward also. And God, you may even terminate your life on earth. He will call you home. That is the mystery of salvation.
Oh, thank you, sir. Wow. We still have a few questions. Thank God you made mention of Satan being a servant of God. Can Satan disrupt God's program for salvation?
Mm-hmm. No.
Okay. Problem.
Mm-hmm. He will only fulfill it.
He will only fulfill
help it to fulfill.
Right. Thank God. We are saved. We are saved on that part.
Okay. Sir, I know the book of life is a broad topic. And time will fail us to talk much about it in this program. But you've been talking earlier on about it, that the elect's name are written in the book of life.
It's a description of the Bible of a book, but you know, I'm not looking at a literal book.
Okay.
It's the mind of God.
Amen.
It's the mind of God. God is not a scribe writing it.
So what about this issue of two angels at the gate of heaven writing and
I've tried to explain to the people. When God wants to relate with you in a way you will understand, He comes, He depicts it symbolically to you, you know. Like they say, the book of life with names written. To look as if there is, you know, some mighty book with billions of names written there. You know, they are the ones that will be saved. You know, like I will say, sometimes I'm at the altar, and then the Lord will reveal to me, you know, a file is put on the table, and then it's being opened. You know, then I will say, somebody's file
is open.
Is open. That is certainly somebody's case is to be attended to that day. That is His own way of depicting it to me. Not that there's a file in heaven with a case written there. Our God is not operating any printing press anywhere.
It's in the mind of God.
It's in the that mind of
God.
That
means He has in mind all those.
And after all, even now we have soft copies. So which one is easier? Is it computerized names or a book written? Now, at the time the writer was writing this, that was the technology available. But now, you know, there's a camera now that is a recording. There's a video that is a recording. And then when they say, before the Lord, you know, there must be God too is a recording. There's an all-seeing eye
watching
you. And the time will come, you will play your own, you will be seeing your own.
So in other words, what in essence, what we are saying is there's a record, a register.
In the mind of God.
And all those whose names are in the book of life will be saved.
He knows them.
He knows them.
Yes.
By name.
Yes.
And they're the only ones who will be saved.
Yes.
And no name can be removed from the book of life.
What qualifies you to be there? It's not by guess. He already saw your end before He put it there. He knows how every one of us will end up.
So what if, this is a funny question, but we need to ask it. We ask questions. Write my name in the book of life. And cancel it from the book of death. If there's a book of life, is there a book of death? And can our name be switched, you know?
Everybody is dead already.
So there's no book of death.
There's no book for death. If your name is not in the book of life, you are dead already. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the soul that sinned shall die. Death sentence hanging over all mankind until light came. Life is offered unto you. Hallelujah. It is only that you look and live.
Okay, I believe Daddy has answered this question, but let's still ask it. Can we understand God's agenda for salvation? Because the way you are sounding, sir, is like you really, you know it very well.
Yes, we can by studying.
By studying. If He reveals it to us, we can.
But it's by studying. Okay. If you study, you will see it. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Paul told Timothy that. Study. You see? Oh, now, you know, these things are in our agenda. I mean, the agenda, you know, started from the creation of the garden where He was going to place Adam. He created Adam. And Adam fell. But as he fell, an announcement was made in verse 15, Genesis chapter 3.
And I will put enmity between thee and the woman. And
between
thy seed.
Who? Between Satan, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Between, yes. Satan. And between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel.
Say it again. Read it again.
And I will put enmity between thee and the woman. And between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel.
And thou shalt bruise his heel. So from there you see that the woman
had a seed.
Had a seed.
From his seed.
Yes.
So from here we get to know
and,
the agenda.
And that seed, so you can see, immediately the fall made. And we all know today that that seed is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Galatians chapter 3 brought that out for us.
That's right.
The seed
of the woman.
Of the woman. You know, Galatians, somewhere in Galatians chapter 4 to mention.
Yes, sir.
You know, let's look for it for the purpose of those who may be hearing us. For the first time.
Galatians 4:4.
Yes.
That's right.
But when the fullness of time was come,
yes,
God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law.
Mm-hmm. Now.
Made of a woman.
Made of a woman.
That's
hallelujah.
Right.
Made under the law. Mm. That is telling you that that seed that was promised Eve was going to come through the seed of Abraham. And that is that promise that was repeated to Abraham. And Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 3 mention it again.
That's right.
Yes.
Christ
has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.
That
the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ.
Now, what is that? That we might receive the promise
of the Spirit.
That we might
receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Now, verse 16.
Okay. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made.
Abraham and his seed. One seed.
Is yet not unto seeds as of many.
Not to seeds. And that seed as of many. That seed is not even Isaac. That seed is not Israel. That seed, he said what?
But as of one, and to thy seed,
which is Christ.
Hallelujah,
you see how the agenda was going to move. That was why he picked Abraham.
So the old Bible stories
is all
the agenda of salvation.
The agenda of salvation. Then he now moved from Abraham, got himself a nation that he used to type his church. And he got Israel. The 12 tribes of Israel. He was specific in giving Jacob 12 sons. And remember, Jacob had daughters.
Of course.
Okay, that's another topic entirely. But the emphasis is on
please
the men.
Make sure you note that the daughters of Jacob.
Now, so that when we talk about women preachers and women this, they think otherwise, you know, they think it's men's chauvinism and things like that. But it is not. We're talking scriptures, you know.
Yeah.
Now, it moved from there. Now, see, he then got Israel as a nation. I said, this is the only one he picked. This is another election. of all the families on earth, it was only Israel. He's elected, so, you know, and decided to reveal himself to them, the only true God.
Amen.
And then, where he got interested now, is that he became his first child. He called him as his first child.
That's right.
If you call him his first child, then you understand John 10.
Oh. Agenda of salvation.
John you will 10. Understand something somewhere in John chapter 10.
That's 15.
As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And all that sheep I have.
What?
All that sheep I have.
Again.
And all that sheep I have, which are not of this fold.
Which fold? Israel.
Mm-hmm.
There are some, there are other sheep, they are not among this fold here, that are not Jews. Them also.
Them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice.
They shall hear my voice.
And there shall be one fold and one shepherd.
And who is that shepherd?
Lord Jesus.
Now, you see, that is what the prophet, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20, he said, we are built upon the foundation of
the apostles and the prophets.
And people think that he's talking about the apostolic ministry and prophetic ministry. That is why they bear, I am apostle, Gabriel, and then prophet. Maybe they are the ones that hold. No, he's talking about the doctrines that the apostles laid for us to build upon, which we are already prophesied. This book is prophesied. Now, like this other sheep, Isaiah 42. Can we read it?
Oh, okay. My.
That's right.
Isaiah 42.
Yeah.
And verse 6, what does it say?
Okay, Isaiah 42, 6. The Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and we hold thy hand, and keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles.
Now go for a light of the Gentiles.
That's
now
right.
Go to chapter 56, verse 8.
Chapter
Isaiah.
56, verse 8.
Yes.
Chapter 56, verse 8.
Okay. The Lord God which gathered the outcasts of Israel saith.
What did he say?
Yet will I gather others to him.
He will gather others also.
Beside those that are gathered unto him.
That is what Christ was repeating here in verse 16. And it is a mystery. Why is it a mystery? He's talking of the salvation of the Gentiles. Why is it a mystery? Because Christ himself said, I come not but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Amen.
A Gentile woman came and said to heal my daughter. He said, it's not proper to give the children
to dogs.
But he said, there are others besides you.
Other food, other sheep.
Other sheep. So you now notice that in this mystery is now explained in Ephesians chapter 3. Let's read it.
Okay. Ephesians 3.
Anointing has come.
Verse.
Read it from verse 1. Apostle Paul is boasting of his ministry.
For this cause, because, I Paul.
Because even before then, put your finger there and go to Acts chapter 13.
Okay.
The mystery of
salvation has come.
Acts 13.
Yes.
Verse what, sir?
From verse 44.
Acts 13, verse 4. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God.
Yes.
But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said,
bold.
It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life,
we turn to the Gentiles. Go ahead.
For so has the Lord commanded us, saying, I have said it to be a light for the Gentiles.
Can you see? 14.
Isaiah
42, that, because 6. That is the light that will go to the Gentiles. Yes?
That should be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as are ordained to eternal life believed.
They believe. Now go to Ephesians chapter 3.
Ephesians chapter 3. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is giving me to you word. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery.
That is a mystery. Yes.
As I wrote afore in few words.
Yes.
Whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ.
It's a mystery.
Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. As it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body. and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ.
Verse 9.
And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world have been hid in Christ, who created all things by Jesus Christ.
In Christ. Read verse 9 again.
And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery.
All men see the fellowship of that mystery.
From the beginning of the world had been eating God, who created all things by Jesus Christ.
Thank you. Now it's okay. So, what is the mystery here? It is the salvation of the Gentiles.
Hallelujah.
Now, it is mysterious from two point of view. Christ said they are dogs. How now are they receiving the same spirit that they received? You notice that it was Peter.
That's true.
In Acts chapter 10.
That's true. In the house of Cornelius.
That is where he went. God first showed him those unclean animals, as you people term Gentiles to be. They were typing Gentiles.
That's true.
Hey, say kill and eat. Kill and eat. And he said, lie. You know how I was a Pharisee, conqueror. I cannot eat any meat. I'm a Jew. Confirm one. Not a hypocrite. Don't know why you call me. And then he said, what I have cleansed,
call down not unclean.
Hallelujah.
He was referring to
Gentiles.
And he went to the house of Cornelius, we know the story. And while he yet spake, Christ showed him, I have cleansed him. What does he use to cleanse us? This is mercy. All that anointing that came upon him and started speaking in tongues and that, it was the mercy. He said, look, I have granted him mercy. What I gave you, I have given them. What forbid us then from baptizing them?
Amen. Yeah.
You see the mystery?
Yes, sir.
That is how these people, who we call dogs, unclean, they have now, you know, and not even that, not just that they have now come in. The truth is that the Christ was saying the first shall be the last.
Now occupy even a higher position.
Occupy a higher position.
That's right.
And that is what was demonstrated when Jacob was to bless sons of
Joseph.
Ephraim and Manasseh. And the right hand is supposed to go on the senior. The left hand was supposed to go. Yeah, it was supposed to go straight, but it crossed.
At the cross. Hallelujah.
So that you will know what happened on the cross on Calvary.
Amen.
And they rejected him, so they got the lesser one. And the junior one that came in, you and I Gentiles, will receive the higher grace. And then he takes us to the palace first before he comes. And then the first shall be the last. And the last shall be the first. So that you'll understand the mystery of salvation. But more interestingly in this mystery, what makes it more mysterious is that which Apostle Paul told us in Romans chapter 11.
That's right. Amen.
Now in Romans chapter 11, he talked about the salvation of the Gentile. He used it as a graft. Now, because Apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 11, you know, you notice that in verse 1 and verse 2, he said something here.
Okay.
I said then, had God cast away his people, he said what?
God forbid.
Mm-hmm. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham. He's talking to the Gentiles.
That's right, sir.
Of the tribe of Benjamin, God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. What do you know? Don't you know what the scripture said of Elias? How he make an intercession to God against Israel, saying this, saying that. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Verse 11.
Amen.
I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall?
God forbid.
Say God forbid. But rather, you see it, through their force, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. You see another mystery. So the rejection of the gospel was God himself blinding them.
To the Jews.
To the Jews, to push Paul to come to us.
Amen.
Another mystery. For to provoke them to jealousy. Verse 12. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminution of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you, Gentiles, insomuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, and magnify
my
office.
That's right.
Then he went on, and described. And he came to verse 24. This is where the mystery is. For if thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, Gentiles, as far as the worship of God is concerned, that's why Israel will look at us the way they look. Mm-hmm. Can you go and cut a tree and walk
and
your creator, you went to bring and decorate your creator. Cut a tree. Tree that can catch a fire.
And dress the creator.
And dress the creator. Bring animal. Apostle Paul in Romans told them, he said they worship the creature more than the creator. And you imagine that. You know. That was why he called them wild. If thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? So, and that olive tree is John 15. I am the vine.
That's right. You are the branches.
The branches. So, bringing you into that vine, you tap it with a tree, the olive tree. When you bring trees, like the citrus trees, trees of the same botanical origin.
Family.
He said, we are grafted contrary to nature. In case somebody is hearing me say this for the first time. So first, you have to know what is the natural way of grafting before you will see how they are not grafted contrary to nature. What is the natural way of grafting? The natural way of grafting is to cut off one branch from the main tree, go to the same botanical family. Of that tree. That is religion. That is religion. Bring a branch from there. Cut from that wild one. This one is wild. And come to this good one. Scrape the back. The trunk. Gum it there. Use that language. Gum it. They call it, that's the grafting process. Have a way of sticking it there. After some time, it gets nourishment from the trunk it is grafted into. And it has life. And it grows. But the natural thing there is that it will bring forth fruit. Not of the tree that was grafted to, but where it is
coming from.
That is the natural one. So, Christ spoke about such is the kingdom of heaven. As if you plant a mustard seed, which is the least among all seeds. But when it grows, it becomes a tree. And the birds of the air comes to perch on it. That is Christ for you. Everybody is coming to Christ. Everybody is coming to Christ. Verse 37 of John chapter 6. He said, all the Father giveth me comes to me.
All that the Father giveth me shall come to me.
Shall come to me.
Him that cometh to me, I will know.
Two people there. I said there are two groups of people there. All that cometh to me, all the Father giveth me from the foundation of the world, they come to me.
And he that cometh to me, I will know why.
And you too that came on your own. And he's too merciful. He's too kind. Whatever you're looking for, he will give you. He will go. That is the composition of Christianity. And it's only the Christian faith that you have all these things. If all Babalawo, they are there. Everybody, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Everybody, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And in Jesus' name, boy, then you now understand why in verse 21 of Matthew chapter 7, he said, not all that said, Lord, Lord, Lord. Mm-hmm. But there's a mystery for the Gentile believer. Now, you are grafted in there. The natural thing is for you to bring forth the fruit that shows where you are coming from. Mm. You are from Catholic. When you come, you'll be worshiping idols. You make your pastor your idol. You'll be bowing down. You know what I mean.
Yes.
Because of time. But the interesting thing is that is the natural way. Where you come from,
you bear the fruit.
This is where you will bear the fruit. So that they will see and say, oh, this one came from this. Oh, this one came from this. But if a man be in Christ,
he's
a new creature. All things where you are coming from are passed away. This Gentile now that is grafted there, contrary to nature, makes the mystery there is that when it is time to produce fruit by a mysterious working of a power that worketh within us, the fruit you produce shall be the fruit of that vine.
Amen.
Contrary to nature.
That is the mystery of the salvation of Gentiles. And that is a point of God's agenda for the salvation of mankind. That is why he used to bring others' sheep into the fold, that they will all be one. When he finished with all, then the same chief shepherd will turn to the Jews again and then bring them in, and then we shall all be under one fold.
One fold, one shepherd.
Hallelujah.
Thank you so much. So many more questions to ask, but time will fail us to continue. It's been very, very interesting. And there are several sermons the pastor has preached.
That's right.
Concerning the book of life, concerning eternal security. Just go through our archives and select the one that deals with the topic that you're not yet clear with. And if you have any question, you could contact the numbers on your screen, send your messages, or even give a phone call to those numbers, and your questions will be duly answered. Thanks for joining us once again on Rapture Watch. Until we meet again, stay rapturable.
Stay up.
Shalom.
Shalom.